Jersey TV.
Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender. I'm your host here on MZ TV, opening the Word of God to you, but especially the book of Romans. And I'm in chapter 8, and I'm in verse 3. And nobody in organized religion understands this, because again, they're still posting the Ten Commandments. For what was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, did God. And yet they look at you, and that's the end of the story. They look at you. They don't look curiously. They don't look to God and say, look what God did. He fulfilled the law by sending his own son in the likeness of sin's flesh, and concerning sin, condemns sin in the flesh. No, they look at you and they say, what are you going to do? And you say, well, no, it's what God did. No, what are you going to do? But what God did is more important. No, what you're going to do. Boy, talk about not getting the memo. So the problem is not human nature. This is a shocking revelation right there. But human nature is not the problem. Because Paul says in Romans 2 that the nations who by nature do the things that the law requires, but they don't do it through law, they do it because the Spirit of God is in them, and the Spirit of God bears fruit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love, and if you love somebody, you won't murder them. So you don't need the commandment that says, thou shalt not commit murder. You don't murder people you love, generally speaking. And so, how could the nations by nature do that which the law demands, although not through the agency of law, if human nature was evil? No, human nature is just idled. It's just devitalized. It's debilitated because of sin. And sin is operating in us because Adam passed mortality through the human race. So flesh, as presently constituted, with mortality coursing through your veins, is helpless. Helpless against sin. While we were still helpless, Christ died for our sakes. This is about human helplessness. How many different ways can Paul emphasize that? I mean, we've already been through chapter 3 by the time we get here. No one righteous, no, not one. They've all gone out of the way. No one is seeking God. You would think that would have done the trick, but no. Christians, all religious people think they're exempt from that. I can understand Muslims thinking they're exempt from it because this is not their scripture. But for Christians to think they're exempt from it when it's right there on the page? Not one is seeking out God. Well, we're the exception. We're seeking God every day. And we're saved because we sought God. But no one's seeking God. But there you go. The problem is sin. And the problem has been solved. You don't have to overcome that problem. Flesh, as presently constituted, is helpless against sin. This is why Christ's sacrifice concerned sin, and it's why Romans is about sin. Look at verse 3 again. This thing that God did was with his son was concerning sin. The thing that God did with his son was not directly concerning you. Not directly. No, it wasn't concerning you directly. You were out of the picture. You weren't even born yet. It was concerning sin. We're taught that Jesus battled us on the cross. When he was on the cross, he was battling our sins. Well, he was not battling us in any way. But in a sense, you could say he was battling sins, but I don't even want to say that. He was battling sin itself. So Jesus didn't battle you or me on the cross. So really, stop feeling guilty. How many times were you told in church, you put Jesus on the cross? These so-called evangelists, that's where they start. You put Jesus on the cross. Really? No, I didn't. But the priest told me that. The priest told me this when I was a kid. You put Jesus on the cross. I said, no, I didn't. I swear, I was playing in my sandbox. I did not put Jesus on the cross. You're not mean enough to put Jesus on the cross. Now, the Romans, they were mean enough, the priests of Jesus' day. But we weren't even born yet when Jesus went to the cross. I can't even kill a roach. That's a true story. I can't even kill a roach. Well, no, it's not true. I have killed roaches here. You have to. But I hesitate to. I hate doing it. I sure as hell wouldn't have crucified Christ. I didn't put him on the cross. Sin put him on the cross. His love for us, seeing us debilitated by this enemy, he came concerning sin. And of course, we're purposely debilitated by this enemy so that we can feel the sweet deliverance of justification and of our bodies eventually being changed. Sin put Christ on the cross. He didn't battle you, but the power that vexes you. I mean, did you make yourself a sinner? No, you were born mortal. Mortality wasn't your idea either. So, you know, stop feeling bad, really, that you're weak. Of course you're weak. Mortal people are weak, and there's no way around that. Pinch that arm again. Look at that stuff that comes up with the hair on it. It's impossible. Forget it. You can't do it. Give up. Boom. Give up. Why don't you do law? Well, this is why. Look at this. Sorry. Oopsie. Sin means to miss the mark. Hamartia in the Greek. Missing the mark is the opposite of hitting the mark. Hitting the mark is righteousness. And the root word in the word righteousness is right. And it means not being wrong. See, I'm making sense for a living continuously. Keep tracking with me. If you make any kind of mistake, it's unrighteousness and thus sin. So stop making mistakes. Huh, that was a joke. But you might as well tell people that. Israel had to learn through practical experience of the inability of the pinched up stuff with the hair on it to subject itself to the law of God. Cannot subject itself to the law of God. Israel still hasn't learned. No, they still haven't learned. And neither is Christianity. No, yeah, the people who continue to put the Ten Commandments on the walls of schools, public buildings, churches, they still have not learned. Israel had an excuse because God had not revealed the truth to them, that the law came to make the transgressions increase, Romans 5:20, and that the law was a taskmaster to lead people to Christ. They had an excuse. They didn't know that. Paul hadn't written Romans yet. Christians today, they don't have an excuse. Israel wasn't told, but Christians have been told in their own Bibles that they take with them to Bible studies. They take their Bibles to Bible studies. And this is the Bible that has Romans chapter 8, verse 3 in it, that the law is impossible through the flesh. And what the flesh couldn't do, God did, sending his son concerning sin. They take these Bibles to Bible studies, but they don't know this. They don't know any of what I'm telling you because they're still struggling against sin. And they have to overcome the biggest sin, which is unbelief, not seeking out God. They have to overcome that sin in order to believe, in order to be saved. Otherwise, they'll go to hell for eternity. And they take Romans is in that Bible that they take the Bible studies. They don't know it. They have the spiritual IQ of Balaam's ass. Oh, wait, I might have to rethink that because Balaam's ass was actually smart. You know, I said I was going to talk about the Mona Lisa yesterday, and here it comes. I wish the Ten Commandment people would only put up the Ten Commandments in the spirit of the Mona Lisa. I've seen it. I've seen that painting, the famous Mona Lisa by Leonardo da Vinci. It's at the Louvre in Paris, the famous art museum. And the whole idea behind this is like, here's this impossibly great painting, that enigmatic smile. It's a masterpiece. Okay, now, what you want to do is look at it for as long as you want, then get the hell out of here. No, you can't take it home. No, you can't touch it. No, you can't even take a picture of it. No, we're not even going to let you get within a foot of it. No, you can't even touch the glass that's in front of it. And if any of you even try to do that, someone will pull a gun on you and escort you from the building. See, my analogy is this is what they ought to do with the Ten Commandments. You see that law? It's perfect. It's great. Okay, now get the hell out of here. You can't fulfill that. But here's the Mona Lisa analogy applied to the Christians. It said they want you to handle the Mona Lisa. They want you to handle this masterpiece. Handle it. Yeah, roll it up. Take it home. Put it on your refrigerator. Stick her up there next to your old Farrah Fawcett poster. Yeah, whatever you want. Jump into the painting like Mary Poppins and ask Lisa Del Giocondo out for a date. That was her actual name, Lisa Del Giocondo. Ask her out for a date. Hey, baby, me and you. Hey, baby, me and you. Light her cigarette, then kiss her tobacco-stained lips. Ah, my enigmatic one. She's meant to be used, they tell us. They tell us in this hypothetical example, but that's what they're telling us concerning law. Meant to be used. Oh, but no. No. Giocondo is not meant to be used. Get the hell away from her. She's meant to be admired. Be in awe of her. Then slink the F away. Or we will pull a gun on you. She's too much woman for you. Way too much woman for you. Step backward. Slowly step backward. Never forward. We have guns and we know how to use them. That's how they should treat the Ten Commandments. You see that? You see how beautiful that is? It's unapproachable. You can't do it. You can't have it. You can't lick it. You can't sniff it. You can't touch it. You can't try it. You can't kiss it. Get the hell out of here. Appreciate its perfection. It's in a frame, behind glass, on the wall. It's impossible. The whole thing is impossible for you. I said I was going to show you a picture of my scriptures. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I feel I've hit a real high point here with this Mona Lisa example. I'm pretty pleased with myself. I'm going to talk about tomorrow. I'm going to talk about did God. Because there's another beautiful piece of art. God and Christ. There's another beautiful piece of art. God who sent his own son. There was an act that came and was developed in the mind of God concerning sin. And it conquered sin. And if we were to watch the film, some people have made movies about, you know, the Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson is one of them. If we're to watch the film of Jesus Christ having been sent by God on the cross, battling sin, this would be like, with the Mona Lisa analogy, Del Giocondo, this would be like running onto the scene. And I'm not talking about being drafted. Like, who's that guy who was drafted to carry the cross? Simon or whatever. No, this is like jumping in, saying, oh, this is not, I can do this. I can do this. Give me the cross. I can do this. I'm doing it concerning sin. I'm going to affect this great thing concerning sin. Does anyone do that when they watch The Passion? No, they are so silenced. They're leveled emotionally, spiritually, physically. They're awestruck. You're watching it and there's nothing you can do. Hold that thought now. Hold that thought now. No. As soon as people get done watching it, when they're in a proper trance, understanding, looking in awe at what God did God, that they should stay there. But no, instead, they come away from the TV, they come away from the movie screen, and they start feeling, this is when the human starts taking over. They start feeling, I got to do something. I need to do something for that man. I need to, instead of just thank him, instead of just get the hell out of here and thank him, just get the hell out of here. You saw it? Now get the hell out of here. You don't belong anywhere near this picture. This was done by God and his son. Back slowly away. Get the hell out of here. No, they jump into it and say, I can do this. I can do this. Do what? Take away sin. I can eliminate my sin. It was already done. Didn't you watch the film? I can do this. I can do this. Oh my God.